Listen to what God has to say to us this morning. It's a great privilege that's given to me once a year. They wheel me out once a year on a Sunday morning to preach God's word. So it's a great privilege to be able to do that in the company of all the worshippers who are gathered together this morning. We are dealing with, you will already have been reminded, we are dealing with the Lord's Prayer. We'd like to have the Lord's Prayer if possible. There we are. Good. I wonder if we could say it all together. It's not like the one that the old people learned at school, but this is the version that we've got in our Bible, so perhaps we could all say it together, could we? All together then. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The first we've dealt with the first part of the Lord's Prayer, and now we come to give us this day our daily bread. And the first thing that impressed me as I thought about it was, what a climb down! What a come down has taken place in the Lord's Prayer. We have been dealing with the first part of the Lord's Prayer. Is it not there? It's here. Oops. What a climb down. Well done, Billy. I'm pleased you are here. What a climb down. We have been dealing with the first part of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, his followers to pray, and we've been up to heaven, haven't we? The Father in heaven. The first part of the Lord's Prayer takes us up into the heavenlies. We've been up into the heavenlies with God our Father. We've been to heaven, the Father in heaven, his name, which is to be held high, lifted high in our thoughts and in our living, daily living. His name, the Heavenly Father is to be admired, and his name is to be revered and lifted up and honored. We've been faced with our Father in heaven at the commencement of the Lord's Prayer, our Father who is in heaven. We have to use his name, we were told, reverently and thoughtfully, not carelessly or indifferently, or perhaps in a very bad way. And then, not only that, we've seen God's will being done in heaven. Give us, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we've been to heaven twice as we thought about the first part of the Lord's Prayer. And then we've been introduced to the kingdom of God. Your kingdom come, we have prayed in the first part of the Lord's Prayer. We've realized that the kingdom came when Jesus came into the world and started his preaching and teaching. We've seen that the kingdom is continuing to come throughout this long period of time between Christ's first coming and his second coming. And we've also been reminded that the kingdom will one day be finally completed. It's continuing at the moment, but it will finally be completed when the King comes, when Jesus himself comes in all his glory and majesty to wind the things up in this world. And so we've thought about the kingdom of God coming. And we all have a part to play if we're Christians in the coming of the kingdom of God. Spurgeon called it that we need to have a glowing missionary spirit as we think about the part which Christians have to play, and we can play in the coming of the kingdom and the spread of the kingdom throughout the world. And we also thought about the will of God being done here on earth. So we've been up to heaven, and we've been considering the kingdom of God, and we've been also thinking about the spread of the kingdom throughout the whole of the earth. All these things are big and important and great matters. The will of God being done, great matters. And now we are, what are we to pray about? Well, we're to pray about the bread on our kitchen table. I say, what a come down, what a climb down from heaven and the kingdom and the will of God, such vital and great matters. And then we come down to this point where we read, give us this day our daily bread. What is meant by bread in this prayer? That's the thing that puzzled me. What is meant by bread when we are told to pray, give us this day our daily bread? What is meant by bread in the Lord's Prayer? Some of the students who study God's Word have said, well, it can't mean ordinary bread, the ordinary bread that we buy in the shop and that we eat day by day. Surely Jesus didn't mean ordinary bread when he said, give us this day our daily bread. Perhaps they say Jesus meant himself, who is the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will neither hunger nor thirst. Perhaps Jesus meant the bread to be himself. That could be true, and we shall perhaps say a little bit more about Jesus being the bread before we finish this morning. Other people have said, well, if it doesn't mean Jesus, bread surely perhaps means the Bible, because the Bible is food which we have to feed upon for our spiritual well-being. And we do find in the Bible that it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. So perhaps Jesus meant the Bible when he taught his disciples and us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Others have said, no, it's the communion service. We have bread at the communion service. We have the bread and the wine, and Jesus was referring to the bread at the communion service when he said this prayer. Well, I don't think we can say that it means either of those three things. I think Jesus did really mean bread on our table, ordinary bread. Because I think bread is a basic requirement for us, a basic ingredient of our daily lives. We can manage without certain things, but bread seems to indicate the vital necessity, the basic necessities of life, if you like. Bread means bread, but it could also include other things as well, which are necessary and vital to our human existence. Because God is a Father who cares for us with regard to our physical needs, as well as our spiritual or mental requirements. So bread indicates to us the basic requirements, the basic necessities to keep our lives going, as it were. It can include other items which are vital to our life. Further down in this chapter, chapter 6 of Matthew, where we get the Lord's Prayer, we find other things which are mentioned. We get in verse 28, we get clothing mentioned. Why worry about your clothing? We read about other things which are essential requirements for the maintenance of our existence in God's world. Verse 25, we looked at verse 25, you will see that it talks about enough food and drink and enough clothes to wear. So I think those things are vital and important for us. We can't manage without bread or food. We can't manage without clothing. We can't manage without drink. I think bread could also include the idea of a shelter. We need a home in which to live, a roof over our head, don't we? And it could also include physical health as well. Things that we can't manage without. I think that's what Jesus was meaning if we tried to expand the idea of give us this day our daily bread. You remember the story of the prodigal son, the runaway boy who ran away to please himself and spend all his inheritance on riotous living, and then he eventually came to himself, we are told, came to his senses, and he said to himself, "In my father's house there is bread." This was the thing which concerned him. There was bread enough and to spare. He says, "I will go back. I will go back home. I will eat humble pie. I will say, I'm sorry. Please have me back. I've got nothing to eat. I've got not even bread to eat. I will go back to my father. In my father's house is bread enough and to spare." And when he went back, of course, and thought about bread in his father's house, in his home, he also included other things, other basic things, like having somewhere to live and perhaps a bed to sleep on and other things as well. But bread in our verse this morning does not include luxuries. We live in a society where we are bombarded with must-haves. We must have this, we must have that, we must have that. You can't possibly live your life without having this and that and the other. And some people become hoarders, don't they? And they take the message and buy this and buy that, and their houses are absolutely full. We've seen some horrible pictures on the telly, haven't we, of people who have just added more and more and more stuff to their households until they can't even move around at all. So God can give us luxuries, and he can give us more than the basic requirements of life. And thankfully, he very often does. And we have to acknowledge that as a gracious and good gift from God. But we are not to pray. We are not to pray for the luxuries of life. We pray for our daily bread, the basic necessities that we can't manage without. Now, you may be saying, "Well, I can't manage without this, and I can't manage without that, and I can't manage without the other." But when you think about it, there are certain things which are absolutely essential for us, and other things are not so vital and so important. I remember the story, well, I'll tell you the story of one of my children when he was very small. and we were teaching our children the Lord's Prayer, sentence by sentence. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we reached the point of, give us this day our daily bread. And I was examining one of the boys on how much he had learnt and whether he could actually say it. And so I said to him, give us this day our daily, expecting him to finish the sentence. Give us this day our daily. And he said, sweets. Now, we don't have to pray for sweets. We don't have to pray for sweets. We have to pray for bread, not sweets. And it is a daily thing that we have to pray. And that's rather interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes we sort of think we're going to get everything in our houses for a long period of time. But Jesus says, no, daily. Give us this day our daily bread. But it's not necessarily a handout which God asks us to pray for. I have to be careful here, but I don't think the Lord is saying, you pray for it, I'll give it to you, and there's nothing you can do about it, nothing you should do to contribute towards it. You see, in the day when this prayer was taught to the disciples and to the people who were listening to Jesus, it was a day when a lot of people had to seek daily employment. They woke up in the morning as a family, and Dad would say, well, I've got to go out now, and I've got to look for a job so that I can be employed for the day, and then I can have enough money to get food for the day. Before we go, we'll say, give us this day. As a family, we'll say, give us this day our daily bread. And so off he would go, and he would find somebody who would employ him for the day, pay him at the end of the day, and he would come home with bread for on the table for that particular day. It's illustrated by the parable which Jesus told about the men who were employed. One man was employed at the beginning of the day, and others were employed throughout the rest of the day, and they were all paid at the end of the day. It's that kind of picture which we have here, and which is in Jesus' mind as he speaks about as gives us the Lord's Prayer. So it's not just God give it to us and nothing that we can do about it. God give it to us because we have gone out and done something about it ourselves. It's very important that we have work to do, isn't it? If you haven't got employment and you're seeking perhaps employment, well, why not be in the volunteer. It's good for your mind, good for your body, good for your mental health to have something to do and some way in which we can contribute towards supply of our needs, whether we're employed or whether we're not employed. Give us this day our daily bread. We should work for it. It's good and right to keep busy. Good for your mental health. Right, where have we got to now, Billy? Oh yeah, that next one is, why should we pray this prayer? We've seen that it's a big change from the first part of the Lord's Prayer. We've tried to understand what Jesus meant and didn't mean when he said, give us this day our daily bread. And now, why should we pray this prayer for bread? The answer to that question is that when we pray for our bread, we express our dependence upon God. We realize that if God hasn't given me this, I can't have it. And so we say, give us this day our daily bread, which requires an indication of our absolute dependence upon God. God is the great and generous giver and can give us more than the basics. And he does give us more than the basics, particularly in this country. But this could breed an attitude of independence. I don't need God, we could say. I've got all this stuff. I've got all this furniture. I've got all this stuff in my garage or whatever it is. I don't need God. I don't need God. But Jesus says, no, we have to pray for our daily bread. And in doing so, we express our absolute dependence upon him. It's a very dangerous thing for our spiritual health, and we can easily be drawn away from God. I can cope with myself, thank you very much. I don't need God. Many people are like that today. I'm a self-made man, they say. Who needs God? And so this prayer brings us back to realize our absolute dependence upon God as we pray. So many people today live empty lives, don't they? And try to fill the empty space with stuff. It could be stuff, it could be entertainment, it could be sport, or it could be something a lot worse. Like, I need to fill my empty space with drugs, or gambling, or alcohol. But having tried all these things, there have been some people in this church who've come and said, we've tried all that, and we're still empty. It still hasn't done the trick. I'm still unsatisfied. So many people are living empty lives and seeking more and more. And Satan, of course, loves that. And Satan can even trap a Christian like that. He can say, you need this, you need that, you need the other. You need to try this and try that and try the other. And we move away from this simple, childlike faith in God and dependence upon him. Well, it's time we came to a close. I think you're all listening. Thank you very much. Perhaps we can finish with a story. I remember reading of an incident that took place in an orphanage in one of the Eastern European countries. Not sure which one it was. It was probably Romania. And this orphanage had been opened quite recently to care for orphaned, quite very small orphaned children. But the carers could not settle the children at night. They were coping with the children quite well during the day and caring for them. But when the night came and they put them in their cots and in their beds in the orphanage, all the children started crying. I know one child crying can set off another, but there was something worse than this, something deeper than this. And the carers tried their hardest to try and stop the children from crying as soon as they were put into their beds. They reasoned amongst themselves, they've got everything that they need during the day. We love them, we care for them, we provide for them. They've got toys to play with. They have toys and food. They're well looked after. But every time the children were put to bed, they all began to cry. and the carers were at their wits' end. What is the solution? What is the answer? How can we solve this problem? Finally, they tried bread. One of the carers took a slice of bread or part of bread and put it into the hands of each one of the little children. And do you know what happened? They all snuggled down and went off to sleep. Bread was the answer. They realized, the carers realized, that this gave them confidence that there would be food for them the next day. Now, if you've got your Bibles and you look at the footnotes at the bottom of Matthew chapter 6, you will see that it can give us this day our daily bread can be interpreted, give us bread for tomorrow. In other words, the man was going out to work, and they prayed that prayer in the evening that the Lord would give them bread on their table for tomorrow. But these little children were blessed by being just having the confidence that bread would be provided for them, had been provided for them, which sent them off to sleep, and would be provided for them in the future. So take hold of Jesus. He is the bread of life. Take him into your heart. And if you are a Christian, continue to feed upon Jesus and realize that the Heavenly Father, who has asked us to pray this prayer, will meet us and will provide for the basic needs of our bodies, the health of our minds, but above all, the salvation of your soul. Thank you. Right, let's sing our final song, shall we?